I've learned myself that if you have a gift, any gift, you know, maybe you are very good on learning other languages, or you're very good on business, you're good on, you know, sales. Any gift that you have as a human being, if you pass it to others, meaning through training, to teaching, to, you know, being mentor to others, that can be a very rewarding experience to yourself as a human being.
Hello and welcome to our podcast, 10 Lessons It Took Me 50 Years to Learn, where we talk to business people, journalists, ambassadors, artists, sports heroes, leaders and luminaries from all over the world. In other words, we will be talking to interesting people about their interesting experiences. My name is Siebe van der Zee, and I'm your host. I'm originally from the Netherlands, happily residing in the beautiful Grand Canyon state of Arizona in the United States. I'm also known as the Dutchman in the desert. I hope you will enjoy this program. This program is sponsored by PDF, the Professional Development Forum. You can learn more about PDF at professionaldevelopmentforum.org. Our guest today is Indira Jeffrey. Indira was born and raised in Guanajuato in Mexico. She is the program manager for Latin America at the Thunderbird School of Global Management at Arizona State University in Phoenix, Arizona. In this role, she is guiding teams in Chile and in Peru on promotion of a business program called Dream Builder, with a special focus on underserved communities. We'll be talking about that a little bit more. Like so many of us, Indira has had multiple careers. She started in banking and finance, working in Mexico and in the United States for financial institutions like Charles Schwab, JP Morgan Chase, and HSBC. You can find further details of her background on our website, 10lessonslearned.com. Indira is considered a global leader for women empowerment, especially for women that live in underserved regions. Can you imagine the lessons that she has learned in her life and in her career? Welcome, Indira. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Siebe. I'm very happy to be here today in your podcast. I admire the work you do, and because you spread the word about experiences of common people like myself.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. And I am curious about the Dream Builder program. Perhaps you can share a little bit about what that means and what it stands for.
Absolutely. Yes, the Dream Builder program is a program that is sponsored, and it was funded by Freeport McMoRan in collaboration with Thunderbird School of Global Management. The program started in 2013, and the goal to create this program was to benefit the women that were the wives of the miners in Peru and in Chile. Of course, the mines are located in vulnerable communities. Yep. And the reason the program was created also was to improve the economic in those areas with the creation of this small business.
Wow. There's a story, and we're going to obviously hear more during your 10 lessons, but that's fascinating. And that's such a big topic to talk about. So thank you. Before we get into the 10 lessons, I'm curious, with your experience, with all the things you have done, if you think of yourself as a 30-year-old, are there any lessons that you have learned that you would like to share with yourself as if you were 30 right now? Which could be.
Yes, thank you for the compliment. Yes, actually, you know, just because of the current economy, I say I will buy real estate first. Ah. Yes, it's one of the lessons. I invest more in myself, and I wouldn't stop traveling.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Buy real estate. I think I understand what you're saying, even though we don't know what the market does, right? It moves up, it can move down, but perhaps over time you have experienced, like I have, that real estate could well be a solid investment for the longer term.
Yes, but you know, when you're 30, you don't think very often about the future. I think when you're 30, you are just, you know, trying to, you know, find a stable job, start a family. And if you have a family, you are, you know, immersed on, you know, all the things that you have to do for your family. It's not very often that, you know, a 30-year-old will think on buying real estate, right?
True. But it's a good lesson. And I appreciate your sharing that with our global audience, because it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So if we look at your 10 lessons, and I see a lot of wisdom in there, let's start with number one, lesson number one, get out of your comfort zone. Easier said than done, perhaps.
Exactly. Well, you know, like you say before, I'm originally from Mexico, and I moved to the United States in 2003. That was a big change because, you know, I had to learn a new language, be immersed in a new culture, a new way of working. I started working right away with an attorney. And there were a lot of changes, but since I remember, I've been always out of my comfort zone. And because of that, I have a lot of good things coming into my life. I also have challenges, but I think it's the best thing a person can do. Just get out of the comfort zone and be able to be flexible as well, you know, to welcome new things into your life. Because if you don't have that mindset of and preparedness to get new things into your life is going to be like horizontal line. Oh. That is okay, right? For some people, but yes, you know, you can have a lot of opportunities if you get out of your comfort zone.
In some situations, and I, as you know, I've lived in Latin America as well. In some situations, it is not that easy to change because the environment, people around you may not give you the opportunity to get out of your comfort zone. Is that something that you recognize?
I do, but I always thought that, and this is because my father once told me, if you don't move, nothing will happen.
Yeah.
So I think if it is now a hope, you know, within your environment, we just need to move.
Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah. Getting out of your comfort zone, lesson number two, learn about other cultures, learn another language.
Yes, I'm originally from Guanajuato. Guanajuato is a state in the middle of the country of Mexico. And it's a very touristic place because it's where the independence of Mexico started. So we have a lot of architecture, colonial architecture. We have a lot of touristic places. And I remember since I was a child, you know, seeing people from different cultures. I came to visit Guanajuato. So I was in that environment, you know, talking to and making friends to Americans, to Canadians, to people from Europe. And I always was very interested in other cultures. Being on that environment makes you a citizen of the world. You don't see any differences, you know, because someone, you know, is speaking in one language or in another language. But if you have that mindset, it is very easy to start opening doors for yourself. And that helped me a lot when I came to the United States. Because in here, you know, of course, like I said before, I had to be willing to speak to a different people from different countries as well. So it was not that difficult for me. And right after, you know, I started a master's degree in Thunderbird, so it helped me more to understand that when you are able and your mind is open to other culture, and then you have another language or two or three or more languages in the professional life and in the personal life are open to you, more doors. So those are, you know, experiences, those are opportunities that you may have if you have these two things, you know, in your life.
I think it's a very important point that you're making. I can understand that it may be intimidating to learn another language. I'm sure you and I, when we learned other languages, we made mistakes. And in some cases, when you start out learning a language, people make fun of you. Nobody likes that, right? But more importantly, you have to get through that barrier and you learn. And once you learn and understand, I agree, and we use the same line, become a citizen of the world. I think that's very important, very for every person to understand that human behavior can be different in different parts of the world. And the best way to learn is to learn their language.
Yes, I think it's very important. And mostly nowadays, when you see a lot of, political, economical, and those issues that are around the world, we both know right now what is happening in Europe. It's just, we need to understand each other. We need to be more empathetic to each other.
Well, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but that looks like it leads to the third lesson, right? Lesson number three, put yourself in the shoes of others. You learn the language and it gives you an opportunity to put yourself in the shoes of others. Is that the lesson that you are sharing?
Yes, that has also, relation to what you just said about that if you are, in the shoes of others, you have to be willing to listen. I think it's very important. And that happened to me, in the beginning when I started to learn this new language, English. I realized that people, they were not listening. I was trying to communicate with them, putting all my effort because, when you're learning a second language, you have to translate everything in your mind. It has to make sense to you first, but then you have to make sense to the other person. So your brain, is working like 100% or 105%. And at the same time, you have to be looking at the eyes of that person, at the lips of the person, all the gestures, and many things are going on in 1 second. And I noticed that people, they were not very patient with me. And then you got the look like, what are you talking about,
Well, and I have to laugh in a way because nonverbal communication in different countries can be extremely important. But if you don't pick up the signs or you make certain gestures that are unacceptable in their culture, then obviously that can be a little bit awkward.
Yes.
But it is an important point, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but I think it's important also, when you are in a communication with someone, just to relax. If you are not understanding what this person is trying to say, you need to relax yourself first. And I think it is fair to ask or to say, can you slow I don't understand what you're trying to say, but not in a mean way, in a nice way. I think when you relax yourself and you become this nice person, the retroalimenting, the feedback you're getting is going to be better.
Yeah. It's perhaps also interesting to note where in certain countries, people will learn other languages because perhaps people that are visiting their own countries will not learn Spanish, or in my case, Dutch. Can you believe that? So let's say Dutch people, they speak typically 4 or 5 languages because nobody wants to learn Dutch. Spanish, I would say, is a little different, but still, it's not that everybody speaks Spanish in the United States.
Nope, not everybody. And I really would like that one day, in some countries in Europe, Spanish will be the second language. Like official second language, because I think we are neighbors with Mexico and Latin America.
Yeah,
we could get so much.
I know.
If we will be better neighbors.
Yeah, interesting perspective for the future. Of course, looking at careers and lesson number 4, why changing careers can help you find your purpose in life. And I think here of women, and especially women in Latin America. Changing careers can help you find purpose in life. How do you connect that?
Well, you know, working with Thunderbird for Good in this program, Dream Builder, I've been able to speak to many women in Latin America mainly. And they don't have differences because all of them, they want to be the breadwinners. All of them, they want to provide a better life for their families. And that has a good feeling to me. This is what I'm doing right now. My previous experience was in banking.
Yeah.
It was a very stressful environment. And I thought, you know, I could be, you know, improving my life and be rich and be, you know, because that industry gives you a lot of opportunity to make money. But I was not happy. My inside was like, you know, because it's the way I am. I'm a person that likes to help others. And of course, I was helping my customers, but it was not the same impact that I'm doing right now with this program. And to me, changing careers, going from the banking industry to, you know, this nonprofit industry, it's given me more meaning to my life. Now I can tell that I've found my purpose in life, that is, you know, help others to improve their lives.
When you started your career in banking, in finance, was that already on your mind that you said, okay, I'm going to be in this field of finance, but at some point, I want to find something that fits me more? Was it a plan, or was it sort of an awareness that occurred when you were already in banking for a number of years?
No, actually, I started in the banking industry in Mexico, and I worked for 3 banks in there, but I always had this curiosity of becoming a consultant, a business consultant, because again, you know, I like to help others. So I was like thinking, maybe, you know, if I'm a consultant, I will be helping, you know, people in a different way than being in a bank. And in 2000 is when I started my own consulting company in Mexico. And I started working for the government in the development, the economic development area. And that time they asked me to help the north area of the state of Guanajuato. And that time that was one of the poorest areas, the poorest regions. And I found that the 80% of the population, they were women. So my assignment was to go to those areas and to create groups and teach them, train them about business topics. When I went to those areas, I, you know, really warmed my heart the way that they treated me and the way that they were willing to learn. Because the 80% of those women, they had husbands that they went to the United States, and some of them, they never came back or communicate with them. So they have this situation where they have to do something to bring money so they can support their families. And all of them, they were able to create things with their hands. You know, they created handcrafts. And I organized them, and they learned about marketing, about sales. And they were able to create cooperatives. And, you know, those were 200 women that after almost a year of training and learning and, you know, willing to do something for themselves, they were able to sell their products to, well, some of them locally, nationally, and internationally. So that project gave me a lot of insight, and I felt like that was my purpose at that moment. But it was after, you know, I stayed with the banking industry for years.
Yeah, powerful. And we're talking about, of course, the lesson that you learned, and obviously it's a lesson for others, that changing career can help you find your purpose. If I look at lesson number 5, it is very much connected to what you're saying. Passing on your knowledge to the less fortunate can be a rewarding experience. It's something that you learned, changing careers gave you purpose in life. And purpose in life for you also means passing on your knowledge to the less fortunate. But perhaps you can share a little bit more on that lesson number 5.
Yes, well, you know, I've learned myself that if you have a gift, any gift, you know, maybe you are very good on learning other languages, or you're very good on business, you're good on, you know, sales. Any gift that you have as a human being, if you pass it to others, meaning through training, to teaching, to, you know, being mentor to others, that can be a very rewarding experience to yourself as a human being.
And it helps you and it helps others.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And I think that when you help others, you are helping to build this community as well, because you're passing something that is good. You're passing your experience. And you can maybe also be a volunteer. You know, you don't have to, because every human being has its own meaning to be in this world, right? But if you are able to volunteer for those organizations and help the less fortunate, you know, it's a way of passing also your knowledge.
Absolutely. A great, great story right there. We're talking today with Indira Jeffrey, a global leader for women empowerment with a strong focus on Latin America, sharing her 10 lessons learned. In the next lesson, lesson number 6, you can love 2 countries at the same time. I think I know what you mean, but please explain.
Well, you know, when I moved from Mexico to the United States, I was 30 years old, exactly 30 years old. It took me time to get used to the United States on everything, you know, culture, way of doing business, you name it, friendships. I don't know the American, how can I say that? Because I don't want to sound like out of place, but, you know, it's not the same way of making friends in Mexico.
It's different.
Friends in the United States. It's different.
It's different. Right?
And I used to miss a lot of my friends, and I think it took me like 3 years to adjust. I still love my country, and I think when I speak about Mexico, it makes me very proud, and about my culture and about my heritage, and I try to, you know, pass that to my kids. But I'm here in the United States, and I love my country. I love, you know, all the opportunities that you have when you're in this country to grow, to be yourself, to help others. And I'm very fortunate. I'm married to an American, so I know exactly how, you know, in my house, you know, you have the American side and the Mexican side, and my kids are sometimes all mixed up, but, you know, it's fun. But I love my country, and I know that, you know, if I go to Mexico, I love my country too. So it's like, you know, your heart is divided in 2 pieces. So that's what I meant. Like, you know, you can love 2 countries at the same time.
I fully agree. I fully understand what you're saying. And it is that experience of living and working in 2 countries that are dear to you. It is possible to love 2 or perhaps more countries. Mm-hmm. I wonder sometimes, and I think of friends that I have from, you know, let's say Europe, living in the United States. It does happen at a certain point in their lives when they're a little bit older and perhaps, you know, looking at retirement, that they decide to go back to their native country. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you would consider, or how do you look at that?
I don't know. Right now we are very happy in the United States, and we have a house in Mexico, so we can go back anytime we want.
Yeah.
But my husband and I, we love to travel. So, and we are very fortunate because he also is very flexible. And I think we will be traveling, you know, when we retire, or, you know, perhaps having a home in another country. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it makes, and of course it's very personal. It depends on a number of things. I don't think it's an automatic that people who have lived in another country than the country in which they were born, that they all decide at a certain age or point in their life, say, okay, let's go back to where we came from. It can happen that the country in which they were born has changed over time. Mm-hmm. And so different aspects, but perhaps Indira, it goes back to that concept, being a citizen of the world, right? It's not restricted to the borders of a country. You can feel comfortable in Mexico. You can feel comfortable in the United States. That's perfectly all right.
Yes. And I think this desire to, you know, be able to experience, to new experiences. And that happened to me, you know, in last year, I had to go to Peru for work. Yeah. And I felt like I was at home for 2 weeks. I don't know. I think it's just, you know, the way I see things. Like, I feel comfortable, you know. Of course, you have to, you know, adjust a little bit in the beginning, but then, you know, you try to be empathetic.
It's a process
from others. Yeah.
It takes, you know, and I've done, let's say, seminars on that topic in the past, and it typically takes a year to get used to a country if it's definitely different than your native country. And then in the second year, you start building friendships and you get used to it. When I moved years ago to South America and I lived in Montevideo, Uruguay, I realized immediately, because I was staying at a hotel initially, that dinner is not served until 9 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. Maybe around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I get a little hungry. Of course, I was not going to change the country. But then I also realized that after dinner, typically around 10 o'clock in the evening, that on the streets of Montevideo, and I lived in the town of Carrasco, that the people were walking around, enjoying themselves, because that's how they live. Mm. And they were, I would say, the nicest people I've ever met. Their culture was different than what I was used to. But when I think of it, wow, good for them, and good for different ways of living than the ones that we were taught and grown up with. It's very good. It makes you feel good to experience that. And you can decide what you prefer. I still like to have dinner around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But I understand if it's 9 o'clock in the evening, I'll get used to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was one of the changes I had to adjust, because it's the same in Mexico. In Mexico, dinner is late. You know, it's around 8 or 9. And then after that, if you are close to a plaza, you go outside, you know, to the plaza, and then you talk to friends, and then you come back, and then you go to bed like around 10 or 11.
Yeah.
You know? And this is because also the schedule for work, I used to have that schedule. You go to work at 9, then you have a break, you know, lunch break, that is 2 hours lunch break, from 2 to 4, and then you come back to work from 4 to 7, you know?
And I got used to that. It was very nice in my experience. Yeah. It kind of, again, puts us forward to lesson number 7, learn to overcome cultural challenges. And you're talking about this right now. Okay, we can talk about dinner time, but how do you go about learning to deal with cultural differences, behaviors that are not the ones that you grew up with or used to? How do you go about learning that and perhaps accepting it as well? Because some of it may be contradictory to the way people are raised in their own countries.
Well, I can tell you that it's two separate things. one in the personal level and in the other in the professional level. And it's happening to me right now. I am the manager for two teams, one in Chile and one in Peru. And I'm from Mexico, of course, right? So we have three cultures, three different cultures, even though we speak the same language and we have the same, you know, ethnical background and, you know, traditions and everything. In the professional level, it can be challenging. But I think the main ingredient to success is just to, you know, you need to sit back and observe and see how you can be part of the solution and not the problem. Because my teams, I'm very grateful with my teams. They are amazing. But there are some times that, you know, I don't completely understand the behavior, but then I'm like, okay, wait. So I just need to, you know, rewind everything, the situation, and try to communicate. And this is what I do, you know, like we have to communicate. I have to do this virtually. So it's not like I can, you know, go to the next office and try to, you know, figure out or solve problems. Everything is virtual, you know, it has to be Zoom. So we talk a lot over the phone, but I mostly do virtual meetings so I can see, you know, the expression, facial expressions and the tone of voice and everything to try to understand exactly what it is, the problem. And we are a team, we fix it. So yeah, it can be very, very challenging when you are dealing between cultures. But at the same time, it's very rewarding because at the end, we are, you know, happy and satisfied with the outcome.
Good point, and I appreciate what you're sharing. The next lesson, lesson number 8, empowering women means empowering whole communities. And for obvious reasons, I'm very curious about what you have to say. The point I like to make is that in the United States, in business, we use the concept of it's a glass ceiling. Women are almost there. And in some cases, yes, they are successful. In other cases, and I speak from my experience as a male, the ceiling is made out of plain cement. There is no way through at this moment. So when you talk about your lesson, empowering women means empowering whole communities, share with us, please, your thoughts on that.
Yes. Well, the main thing I would like to share is that, you know, usually women in most all the cultures are the ones that just connect with other members of the family, meaning are the main connectors with their kids, are the main connectors between the kids and the husband or the partner, are the main connectors between their household and other households, you know, meaning neighbors, other family members. So I know that the family is the cell of the society, but I think the women are the cells of the family, you know, the point of contact. And if you help a woman, in this case, now let's talk about business, to start a business, to help this, to empower this woman, you are not empowering just that woman, you're empowering her kids, her husband. And also because we as women, we tend to share, you know, anything, to communicate, we're more communicative. You know, if that person, that woman feels like that she has something good to share, she will be sharing this with the neighbors, with everybody that she knows. So I think that's, to me, it is very, very important to empower women. And I'm just gonna, I have some statistics here, and I can tell you that within these 2 years of pandemic, women open more business than men. And that was the 56% of women open business during the pandemic. Also, the rate of women-owned businesses went up to 5% in the United States. And like, for example, also in the United States, women own 12.3 million businesses. It's a lot.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, we're talking about the United States, but talking about Latin America also, it was an increase of women business own. And mostly because of, you know, we are in the digital era. So a lot of women, they are taking advantage of internet, taking advantage of the social media platforms to showcase their business to, you know, if they have any kind of service, you know, to just say, you know, I am a consultant, I can help in this. And that's a way where, you know, if I feel very, very comfortable in saying that the Dream Builder program is helping on creating this wealth, this empower on women.
And you're saying that successful women set an example for other women, because that's perhaps a very, very important guide as far as what women can do when they see other women being successful in their field, in their trade.
Yes. And this is because, you know, again, we tend to share, and also we tend to look after other men or women that are successful. And you try to imitate also, and mostly because as a woman, you want to provide or to get a better life for, in this case, your kids or your family. So I think, you know, if you can set the expectations and be a role model to others, just go and do it. And this is for any woman that is listening to this podcast. You know, it's not about us, it's about others.
I appreciate you say that. That's a powerful point. Thank you for that. Moving on, and that's perhaps a more challenging lesson. Lesson number 9, when staying in a place is painful, you need to move to somewhere else. It sounds like common sense, but that's, of course, could be a very difficult situation for people, but women in particular.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, when I talk about Latin America, women don't have as many opportunities as women in the United States to move forward or to, you know, be able to support their family when they have families or themselves. And sometimes, you know, when you are staying in one place, let's say in a personal situation that you are not comfortable, it's painful. Also, when you are in a professional situation and you are not happy, it's painful, right? So you have to move somewhere else. And this is linked to my first comment when my dad said, you know, if you don't move, nothing will happen. So that's something that I learned, and also, you know, with some of my personal experiences, that if you are in pain, and it's not like in pain, like body pains, but, you know, in pain meaning like you are not happy, you need to move and try to find help or try to get together with friends that they can help you.
And you're saying also never give up, or because in some cases, of course, women can be in a very painful situation, but the alternative is not an easy solution. It's hard to find sometimes how to get out of that current situation.
Yes, that's my advice, my personal advice, that never give up. I think life gives us a lot of ways to find out our way out of certain situations, but sometimes we have this blindfold, you know, in our eyes that we don't want to see it. And even though, but you just try to talk to yourself and try to get out of that situation, whichever situation it is. Never give up and keep trying into what exactly you want your life to become.
Yeah. And in that sense, perhaps be honest with yourself, right? If you are unhappy in a situation, you have to find a way to a better situation, no matter what.
You know, to me, honesty is the main value of a human being. Because if you are not honest with yourself, or you are not honest to others, I don't think you can go ahead in life. Because sooner or later, you know, whatever it is going to come and bite you.
Yeah.
So I think you need to be honest in all ways, in all means.
Yeah. Well, it's a serious issue, of course. A good lesson. So talking about, obviously, lesson number 9, there are some very serious aspects to that. And I'm looking at number 10, and that puts a smile on my face, because lesson number 10, Indira, is slow down and enjoy life. I like your side of that story.
Yes. Well, you know, when you were 30, you are rushing all the time. I don't know you, but I remember, you know, I was rushing and trying to go places. And when I was 30, I moved to the United States, you know, trying to find my place on earth. I don't know, I think I was very busy. And I never thought of slowing down. I thought that, you know, life had to be like a go, go, go all the time, and trying sometimes to compete with others. And I think, you know, I'm almost 50 years old. At this point in my life, I just want to slow down and enjoy life, because there are a lot of things that I miss, is what I think. Even though I travel a lot and I had...
You're busy, yes.
I was being very busy. But now I think what changed that perception in me were my kids.
Yes.
Yes. I have 2 kids, 7 and 9 years old, and they are super busy, but they also have another perception. They like to be outside. They like to do sports. They like to draw. You know, I never before will, you know, sit down and try to do some drawing with, no, because I didn't have time. And it's something so relaxing to do. Or, you know, read a book also. You know, it's just like you as a human being, you have to stop and sit back and think, what if what you're doing is helping your mental health, and also it is helping you to grow as a human being? That's what I meant.
Yeah. Now, you're a busy person. You're involved. Like you said, you travel a lot. Does that mean that you seriously plan time to be able to slow down and enjoy life? Is it something that you have to put on your calendar, on your schedule?
I think it came as an awareness, because I started having a lot of back pain and stress and headaches. And as soon as I started slowing down, you know, those pains started disappearing. So I think it has to do with stress. And slowing down is not just like not doing nothing. Because, you know, it's just like maybe put aside some time for yourself. To me, to be in that activity, to be, you know, like, for example, if you're listening music or something, just to be on that, no multitasking, just focus on that activity and, you know, try to enjoy.
I know it's important, of course. A lot of people learn that lesson. And at the same time, you know, when I think of COVID period that took a good 2 years, we had to make adjustments. It was not easy to relax. And now that we are in the hopefully recovery period, it's not easy, because we have to make up to a certain extent what we were not able to do in the previous 2 years. So as you can tell, I'm struggling with it as well, right? Because you have to find that moment of peace and you refer to your children, which typically, you know, for many people is at the top of the hill when it comes to distraction in a good, positive way. You have to be, you know, involved with your kids, etc. But also to really plan it in your schedule that you have to give yourself a break. You have to be able to sleep enough. If people don't have enough sleep, it's very difficult to feel relaxed and get things done, right?
Yeah. And, you know, also, I think technology is not allowing us to be present. I think too much social media and, you know, just being disconnected from the real world.
Yeah.
Not helping.
Yeah.
You know, mental health. I think we have to be present. We have to, again, learn how to be present. I mean, you know, with your kids or with your friends, because I see sometimes, I try always when I'm talking to someone, just to put my phone away and to be present, you know, to give that person my whole attention.
Yeah.
Because I think it's also respect.
I would agree. I'm so appreciative for your 10 lessons. We learned a lot from you. But I'm also curious, Indira, if there perhaps is a lesson in life, in your career, that you have unlearned, that you decided, I got to do this different. I got to do this, you know, forget about this, whatever it is, anything unlearned.
I think, yes, sometimes you have to be more aware of people because, you know, I'm a person that trusts right away. I give the benefit of the doubt. But and because of that, I've been in situations that are not very pleasant, meaning in relationship with, you know, partners or, you know. And I think, you shouldn't be, I need to think twice before I agree to bring people to my life. It's just, like I say before, to me, honesty is very important, but also trust. You know, people has to be trustworthy. And I need to learn, you know, how to slow down and not trust on people like right away.
is that something that you have truly unlearned, or are you still working on that?
I'm still working on it.
Really?
Yeah.
You still sort of fall for people in the sense that you want to trust them and feel comfortable.
Yes.
But you need to be more careful, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
You know,
interesting.
Yes, a lesson. You know, like sometimes people, they may think, oh, you know, just give the benefit of the doubt to everybody. No, you have to, you know, be careful because not everybody is like you think you are.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. And thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your wisdoms with our global audience. In closing, you've been listening to the international podcast, 10 Lessons It Took Me 50 Years to Learn, sponsored by PDF, the Professional Development Forum. PDF provides webinars, social media discussions, podcasts, and parties. And best of all, it's all for free. For more information, please visit professionaldevelopmentforum.org. Our guest today was Indira Jeffrey from Phoenix, Arizona, from Mexico, from Latin America, a global leader for women empowerment, sharing her 10 lessons it took her 50 years to learn. And to our audience, don't forget to leave us a review or a comment. You can also email us at podcast@10lessonslearned.com. That is podcast10lessonslearned.com. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And remember, this podcast makes the world wiser and wiser, podcast by podcast, lesson by lesson. Thank you and stay safe.